Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined by Marius Ruit. Now, for those of you watching on YouTube, you may notice that my camera is not currently on. I unfortunately was not able to get my camera working ahead of the video. But anyway, let's get into the news stories of today. And this is kind of, I think, a little bit of a roundup of the news stories we've been talking about over the last couple of days on the show, and that is the state of municipal governance across the country and the threat that politics is posing towards good governance. So we've talked, of course, a lot about the motion of no confidence in Mayor Celeus Brink and the chaos that has sort of opened up in the city of Tshwane. We have a very unclear future as to who's actually going to be elected mayor. The ANC is putting forward a candidate. Action SA says they're not going to support them, that they want their candidate elected. And at the same time, the DA is going to the ANC's national leadership and saying to them, we're not going to help you in other municipalities around the country stabilize the governments there if you don't put Celeus back. So who knows what's going to happen. But, you know, this is a real big problem. Not just because there are problems like the Gauteng water crisis, which is fast approaching and kind of actually already here in places like Joburg and actually even parts of Tshwane, for example, Hammanskraal. But getting cities working is a really important part of South Africa's success. Business Live has written an editorial talking about how revitalizing South Africa's cities is central to the government of national unity. And I think they're absolutely right. South Africa is increasingly an urban place. Most South Africans, Marius, you were telling me before the show, something like 40% live in the metros around the country, and they provide more than half of our GDP. So ensuring that our cities are working, functioning, and drawing in new people and new immigrants in a successful and sustainable way is vital to making sure that South Africa becomes a prosperous place. And if our cities are left to rot, well, then our country has no chance of succeeding whatsoever. So as much as there needs to be policy reform at the top levels, there also, I think, needs to be some serious changes to the way local government is run. Marius, you put out a press release on Friday about how it's time to take municipal governance seriously in South Africa. Would you like to expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, so just to follow up with your point, about 42% of South Africans live in one of the eight metros, and together the eight metros account for 60% of South Africa's GDP output. Obviously, if you expand that to secondary cities, places like Nelspruit and Pietermaritzburg and Rustenburg, etc., and other towns, then about 70% of South Africans live in urban areas. So it's clear that most people live in urban areas, and it's important that they're places that are run properly. And I think especially in Gauteng, we've seen that some political parties definitely don't take the governance of our municipalities very seriously. I think we can see what's happening in Tshwane now. The ANC and Action SA and EFF obviously support the motion of no confidence in Celeus Brink, which is all well and good. But they had no plan for what happens afterwards. Action SA and ANC are now fighting about, or Action SA says they're not going to support ANC in voting for an ANC mayor. They wanted their mayor put in place. And also what happened in Johannesburg with Kabelo Gwamanda from Al Jamaa. I don't think there's anybody who thinks that he was somebody who can actually fix the problems in a place like Johannesburg. He was clear that he wasn't up to the job. And I think it just shows that the fact that he was backed by the ANC and the EFF and so on shows that they aren't taking municipal governance properly. If you want to run a place like Joburg and fix it, the person who's mayor has got to be a serious person who's capable and so on. The ANC's put capable people in place before in place like Joburg. I mean, Park Star was a pretty efficient and capable mayor, I think. But since then, I mean, they've supporting people like Kabelo Gwamanda. There's even questions about the current mayor of Johannesburg, Dada Morero. Also not sure if he's maybe the right person to do it. So yeah, we need to make sure that the right kind of people are running our municipalities. And the municipalities, cities are just so important. They're basically the engine rooms of the South African economy. And they're places where people can find opportunities and get work and so on. Basically, if you live in rural poverty in South Africa and you want to escape it, the best thing to do is actually to move to a city. So we've got to make sure that our cities are places where it's pleasant to work and to live, We're going to make it easy for people to get from where they stay to jobs and so on. And we've also got to make them places where there are jobs. That's also another thing. The rates of employment within cities is generally much higher than the surrounding rural areas and so on. So yeah, they just cities are just so important. And you know, urbanization is something, as you mentioned, South Africa's increasingly an urbanized country, and it's not going to change anytime soon. We're not going to reverse the amount of people who are coming to cities. It's not like we're suddenly going to see a whole bunch of people move to rural areas. So it's absolutely vital for municipal governance to be taken seriously and for municipalities to work.
I agree with that completely. And that's actually why I think we need to start also as citizens thinking about the local government elections in 2026. These are going to be probably not as important perhaps as the elections we just had, but also, you know, very important. They're going to determine the fate of these metros. Just looking at our stats here in YouTube, like at least half of our audience lives in Joburg's big cities, maybe even as high as 80%. So it's very important that I think you guys in particular, because the metros will be fiercely politically contested. And the parties that have been mucking about need to be held to account. And the only people who can do that is the voters. So I would recommend that everyone starts paying very close attention to what's going on in our municipalities around the country as we get ready for those elections in, 18 months' time or so.
Yeah, they'll probably be in January 2027, most probably.
Somewhere like that. I mean, not a little bit earlier. You don't think in August or something?
Nah, I mean, possibly, but I mean, it's not often because the election has got to be within 5 years and 3 months after the last election.
Right.
And generally how it's gone with our elections, it's not often that they've had an election before that five-year term's up. So they pretty much push it, you know, to more or less 5 years. So, and the last election was in November 2021. And I don't think we'll have another election in November. I mean, we've had one local government election very early December, but I think it's probably more likely that we'll have it in January, I think.
Right. Okay. Let's move on to our next story now. And this is about an absolutely horrible story coming out of the Eastern Cape. The small town of Lusikisiki, which I've actually been to, has had an absolutely horrific incident of violence on Saturday morning. 18 people were murdered in their home. They were gunned down for what is still unknown reasons. Ian Cameron, the head of the Parliamentary Committee on Police, suggested that this may have something to do with some kind of retaliation, although it's still very unclear what any of the details are, so we don't really know. These two families, the Sinkrina and Matu families, were gathering together in the house to end a period of mourning after two of their relatives had been killed a year earlier, also in a gun battle of some sort, or had been shot dead, rather. And gunmen approached this place and massacred the household. I think six people survived. There was like about 24 in the house, and 18 people were killed. This has sparked panic in the local village, Ngobozana village, where people are saying that they believe that the people who carried out the massacre are personally known to them, and that there's going to be more violence. And there are, in fact, people who are considering fleeing the village because they are scared that more violence is about to follow. This village is about 6 kilometers from Lusikisiki, which is not already a big town to begin with. The police have said that they are doing everything they can to investigate it. They are deploying, they said, quote, seasoned detectives who have knowledge and experience in forensic investigation to find out who carried out the murder. But this is just one of those stories, Morris, that kind of makes your jaw drop, because it's just so horrific and so violent. And yet it's not catching fire in the country's sort of zeitgeist as, you know, you might expect. I mean, even other, you know, not very wealthy countries. I think, you know, if this happened in Ghana, people would be talking about it for weeks. In South Africa, we kind of just say, that's just how it be. There's a lot to unpack here. Maurice, what do you make of this?
Yeah, I think, I mean, if this kind of thing happened in just about any other country in the world. It would be on the front pages for weeks. I mean, it is being covered. We mustn't pretend that it's, you know, don't say, oh, the mainstream media is not covering this, when obviously clearly they are. But I think it just says something about South Africans that we've become so, I don't use the word immune, but I think so anesthetized to violence, because South Africa has been such a violent country for so long.
Yeah,
and, numb. I mean, exactly. Yeah, numb. There we go. That's the word. And, I mean, even going back, I mean, I've mentioned on the show before where during the lockdown, where we had people killed by police and so on. Collins Causa, he comes to mind. And it was something, you know, it was people like, oh, that's pretty bad, and you shrug and you move on. And you feel like this is the kind of thing that the same kind of thing. People are, you wouldn't say expected, but you read it and say, you shake your head and that's terrible. But nothing really happens. You know, it's, I mean, I used to, at a former job of mine, I had actually the security guard at the organization told me that his brother had been shot dead in a mass shooting at a government office in Northwest. And I went in and Googled the guy's name and, you know, it came up. And this was just a small little story hidden in, you know, that was obviously not in newspaper in those days. We already had the internet, but it was a small story. It's not something you really heard about. And this was a mass shooting that happened at a government office. And it was just one of these things, you know, people, again, you just shake your head and you move on. And I think that's something that's, yeah, I don't know what it is in South Africa, but we have become numb to these very high levels of violence. And unfortunately, I think we're getting used to it, but it's not acceptable. And I don't know what the solution is. Of course, I mean, policing comes into it. But I think it's also something in the, you know, psyche of South Africans that needs to be fixed, I think.
Yeah, no, I think the problems of South Africa's violence are very deep and rooted in everything from socioeconomic condition to historical stuff to cultural stuff to, there's just a lot going on. And I think in order to fix that, you're going to have to, you know, go sort of through almost generational societal shifts. But that doesn't mean that we can't do something about it now, and that is to improve the police force. And, you know, so much of rural South Africa has become so lawless that stories like this, they get attention, but they don't, spark passion in South Africans anymore. We just kind of almost expect it in a way that I think we don't necessarily always expect in some of the cities. I mean, if this happened in Sandton, people would be losing their minds. Even if this happened in Soweto, people would be losing their minds. It's not. It's actually, I think some of it is because this is happening in a rural area far away from the big cities and where all the media houses and stuff are. So.
But also, even this, I mean, the story, it's not that bizarre. You often hear about these mass shootings happening in rural areas. It's, you know, it's not something that, like, this hasn't happened in 20 years. I mean, if you Google, I'm sure you probably find a mass shooting in a rural area happened a couple of months ago. I mean, it's just one of those things that happens fairly often, and it's completely insane that we've got so used to it.
Exactly. And I think that's the key here, is we do need to keep talking about these issues. We do need to keep them in the public mind. Because government needs to know that it needs to be doing everything it can to turn back the tide of this lawlessness and violence, because we cannot have a prosperous country if, you know, people can be massacred in their homes like this. All right. Thank you very much for watching. We hope that you found the show interesting, and we will, of course, be back tomorrow with the Daily Friend Show. I hope you all have a good day. Cheers, everyone. The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR, or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.